Good morning, Rabbi Sai. Ah! All right, listen, we're here in Los Angeles. What's this neighborhood called over here? Pico Robertson. We're in the Lighthouse, and we want to thank Rabbi Saidian, yeah? Chaim, for hosting us. Beautiful place, very, very cool. This is very retro. There's guitars on the wall, TVs in the background. It's a geschmacka place. The beautiful view of LA, but it's a little bit too hot to go outside, but this room is gorgeous. All right. Lilu Nishma Simi Mirosi Ruspas Mordechai. Today's shiur is sponsored by Mordechai Zapaznik. L'zeich Nishma Zer Shimshon, Harav Shimshon Chaim Ben Rav Nachman Michael Zeicher Tzadik Kodesh Levrocha. By the way, you know, Nachman Seltzer wrote a famous sefer, Zer Shimshon. He translated it into English and everything. Whose yard says the Shabbos, Vavel, everyone should try to learn some Zer Shimshon. Shabbos, Zeich Nishmasa, the Zer Shimshon's Torah is made available to all by Rav Nachman Seltzer. Oh! This beautiful Zera Shimshon English edition. May the Zera Shimshon be made the Yisrael of Israel. L'nishmas Rav Shimshon Chaim ben Rav Menachem Nachman Michal. This is Zera Shimshon. Yortzeit, the sixth of El. L'nishmas Rav Gershon Shol Yontiv Lipman Heller ben Rav Nosan Alevi the Tosis Yontiv. Rav Yecheskel ben Rav Yaakov Chaim Sarna. I wonder if this is Yisrael Shalitsky. He's big into these yard signs, but I'm just guessing. But if somebody else, I hope you're not insulted. By Yisrael Goldstein, who I met his brother yesterday. Menachem Mendel, no? What was his brother's name? In memory of my late mother, Chano Yento Basir of Nisan HaKoyen. By Chaim and Hindi Snow, the famous Chaim Snow, the videographer. Rufu Shleimet Yechil Mechel Ben Shein Olay was having surgery. By the, I need the sun, please. Shkoyach. Rav Shleimet Faliza Tova Bas Esther Gruno, daughter and sister cancer patient, now diagnosed with COVID-19. And sponsored by the Crown Heights Division of MDY. The Schus, a new member of our Chabura that is Nida Rachmi Shemaim, Shimon Ben Alice. May the Schus of our learning bring him a Rav Shleimet Bekarv Mamish. He should have a long, healthy life with his wonderful family. Amen. Go Crown Heights, and by Israel Harmon for my mother's second yard site, Sora Bas Oshazelik, Parnas Achoydesh. Officially, this ended, but it's by Michael Bemela, memory of his brother, Devorah Fegabas Shmuel, and father-in-law Menachem Mendel Ben Elchanan, and in the merit to make it to Umar Rosh Hashanah this year. All right, Rabbosai, it's been a tremendous pleasure to be here in Los Angeles. Last time I was here was 20 years ago. I hope to be back a little sooner than that. But it's mamish, it's a Kiddush Hashem, such achdus. We have Hasidim in the room. We have Litvaks. We have a lot of Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, all sorts of people. This we have to probably put down over here. Okay, yeah, it's much better. We'll do it like this. Okay. I think it's better. Great. So, I want to thank Shlomo, the Lazarian, Shkoyach for waking up early again and bringing me to Shul. Shkoyach for setting this thing up. Last minute on the way home, what, it was 12 in the morning, he said, you know, let's do another shiur, maybe live, maybe in the hotel room. He said, no, I have the perfect place. So, Shkoyach, Reb Shlomo. A couple of emails here, maybe more than a couple. Yisrael Ausfresser. Thank you, Reb Eli, all your efforts. Mazel tov, da da da. I was thinking of an idea. My dream was to join your Achikala program, learning in Eretz Yisrael for a week, but unfortunately, it never materialized. Maybe we can do an MDY Achikala. In Eretz Hashem, the Matzav in Eretz Yisrael will improve by winter vacation timeline. This will give the MDY Mishpacha to come together all around the world. I'm sure the challenge would be to find a big enough venue to host MDY, but it would be a great problem to have. Thanks, Yisrael. Just yesterday, somebody was saying that they wanted to do a Shabbaton in New York. And some of the guys in Los Angeles said, we'll fly out there. So there's another idea. Some sort of Yachikal in Eretz Yisrael. Refu Shleima for Tinoik Ben Sara. The other day, you said the Chazon Ish used to say, when an Esrik starts changing colors, it's a good sign. It reminded me of a story. When I was a young boy in Chaim Berlin, the Rebbe there, she was, oh. So my older brother, Tzvi Yugodayev, I wonder if I know him, I remember a name like that in Chaim Berlin, won the top prize, which was a shas. Rav Pam Zitzal gave him a bracha that a shas should be worn out torn with torn pages. And he didn't understand the bracha for 25 plus years, but now he does. By the way, I love the shiur. Recruited a bunch of my friends this year, are enjoying the shiur very much. Michal Yugodayev. This is a long one. Let's see if I could skip around there a little bit. By Moshe Handler. Mazel tov, da da da. Been doing dafyomi for many years. Did Sima Shas, Chassidus Rebbe from Yerushalayim participated, and he felt that he doesn't have 100% clearness in the many sugyas. Dafyomi was the lifeline, especially since I have a very hard time parnasa, da 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 da, paycheck, paycheck. He went to another shir, I'm not going to mention the name. Though I enjoyed it, I hate to say I was tired and often fell asleep 20 minutes into the shir. I never ever fall asleep during your shir. My life has changed when I discovered your shir shortly after reading a story which you mentioned in the Nachman Seltzer book. I was his roommate in Torah Or. Nachman Seltzer, I hope he's not watching this, because he says over here that Nachman Seltzer used to pinch his ear in the middle of the night because he snored too loud. And then later on, Hashem paid him back because Nachman Seltzer's wife pinches his ear when he snores too loud. I'm a very colorful person. Yeah, no joke. In certain ways, I'm a typical Litvish, but yet lovely Chassid, love my Chassidish Rebbeim, told us Avram Yitzchok, Spinka, da da da, Karlabach, Ramosha Weinberger, Slonim, Majus Naginim. Kitzer, I attended the Sherry Bracha, spoke to me, got a picture. It was in Lakewood also. It's 8 years since last in Israel. Tachlis, what's the tachlis here? Where's all the COVID stuff? Oh. You brought back people from the dumps, people that had no interest in learning, and someone with suicidal thoughts. Just because you're a real estate clean-shaving guy with multicolored polka dot socks doesn't mean you're not chashev. You're very prestigious. He's mad at me. I didn't want to give him a bracha. How come I didn't give him a bracha? As a matter of fact, your shir is bigger than Rav Moshe Arieli's. Okay, shkoyach. I ask you to please read this to me the next time. Give me a bracha that I requested. Please be able to do. What's his bracha? He wants to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael soon for a nice trip. I'm adding also a request for a bracha of nachas from all my children. Long life and good health and parnasa berevach for all my family. Rebelli, you should have only simcha nachas for your whole family. Your shir should continue to grow and grow until you daily follow and be in the tens of thousands. You should continue well into the three digits of best health and prosperity. You are very choshev and roy to give brachas big time. Ah! Your devoted family member of MDY, your fan, Moshe H. Okay, so listen. I don't give brachas, but since he gave me a bracha, gave me a beautiful bracha, should be zeichet to have tens of thousands of talmidim. So, all the stuff that you wrote about, that you should have nachas from your children, what else? I'm just giving right back, like one balabas to the next. Parnasa berevach, and he should make it there to Yisrael, and nachas from all the children, amen, ken yiratzen. But no, I don't give brachas. I can give bracha like anybody else gave bracha. How do I know? Because I tried. I gave a few people brachas. It did not work. It's garnished. Nothing. Just like everybody else. Trust me.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll try it out. Every year I'll try it out once, twice, and we'll see. All right. Rabbi, today is Daf Lamed Zayin. And we're smack in the middle of a sugya where, you know what? We could just go over real quickly maybe. Rava says that you could use, in order to tie the lulav together with the hadas and the aravas, you could use any material that's part of the palm tree. Even siv, hadekel, little strings that grow, nothing to do with the lulav. They don't look like a lulav, they're dark brown. We had it yesterday. And how does he know it? He says this very interesting kavachomer, very rare kind of kavachomer. Says that the dalad minim, you could only take the dalad minim during the daytime. You don't do dalamin, you don't shake a lulav at night. But the sukkah is a mitzvah deraisa to sleep in the sukkah at night. Very choshev, Lubavitcher and Gaman just gave me from the sources why Lubavitcher don't sleep. I'm going to look it over in the plane. I really want to know the sources. I know the main sources that the Rebbe didn't do it and he got it from the Friedrich Rebbe, etc. But I want to know the reason. Fine, I'm Litvak. I need to know reasons. So he gave me some reasons. I'm going to look it over. Anyway, so he wants to bring a raya that you could take a lulav with the aravas and adasim and wrap it with siv adekel. And you hear this kavachoymer. If you could only use the dalad minim during the daytime, and it's only dalad minim, so sukkah shenegz b'leiz, yom enidin shalitia lebarbas haminim. So schach should only be available with the dalad minim. You'd have to put palm trees on the top of the sukkah. You'd have to put esrogim. Yesterday I said esrogim, mistake. Not esrogim, but esrogim branches, because esrogim are fruit. Tosis points out fruit is mekabel tumah. You would never be able to use an esrog itself. You could use adasim, you could use a ravas. Great. So that's what we're holding. Amruloi, two lines from the bottom. Amruloi. Kol din, this kavachom is not very good. Why? If it's a kavachomer that's going to bring a kula, what's the kula? Einoidin. Why is it a kula? Because listen, if I tell you that the only way you could do schach is with a lulav, so what if you don't have a lulavim? What if you don't have enough esrogim for schach? So you're not going to be in a sukkah. What happens? That's a kula. It's going to create a problem. Top of lamed zayin amud aleph. Loy mazar bas minim yeyoshevu batel. What, you're not going to sin in the sukkah? Vatar amro b'sukkah stage v'shivas yamim. You have to sin in the sukkah 7 days. Sukkah shall call davar. The extra b'sukkah stage v'shivas yamim teach us that you can make schach from anything. In other words, it's tamakal tuma, grows in the ground. V'chein be'ezra oimer. There's another mefurish pasuk that says suahar, go out to the mountains. Go bring me some olive wood, some leaves from the olives, from Shemen, Valley Hadas, and leaves from Hadas, Valley Tmarim, and dates, Valley Ovois, and some lulavim, which is basically the same thing. Vasu sukkos kakosov, and then you make sukkos. So it says Mefurish in the Pasuk. What? You're making schar from all sorts of things, not just from the dalad minim. It's a zayis. Zayis is not an olive. Is not part of the dalad minim. Rebbe Yehuda Sovar Hani Litfonois. The other stuff in the pasuk, he said, go out and bring some olive wood. Beautiful, nice olive wood walls. Aliyah das, aliyah tamar, aliyah tzavois. L'schach. The rest of the pasuk is for schach. Part of the pasuk is walls. He wasn't referring to only schach. He was telling them, Ezra was saying, go out and bring all these minim, half of them for the schach, half of them for the walls. Udnan, okay, and we have another, we learned in the Mishnah, Masachim bin Asarim, you're allowed to use planks of wood for schach. How big are these planks of wood? 3 tefachim, 4 tefachim, depends on how we learned. Rav Shmuel, the Rabbi Yehuda, Al Muslimi, Karit, Diklo, Minit, Lovahu, Shma, Mino. So the bottom line is, oh, at the end of the day, so you see from here that if I am permitted to use all these other minim for the schach, what kind of schach am I using? I'm using the branches of the esrog. I'm using the branches of the lulav. So you see that I can use other stuff. It doesn't have to be dafka, the lulav itself. It could be other parts of the lulav, and that's the raya shma mino. Did Rabbi Yehuda really say you cannot use anything else for schach? It has to be from the 4 minim of the lulav. If you use 4 tefach wide cedar beams, according to everybody's possible, according to this man d'omer, that was 1 man d'omer. If there's no 4 tefachim, then we have a machloikis. So Yishkoach Shlomo for printing this out. So I don't know if you recall, but this is a great case where the sukkah was exactly 8 amos shalom aleichem, and he starts from one side and he meets the center. Starts from the other side, meets the center. 4, and then he has 4 tefach plank of wood. He puts schach. 4 tefach plank of wood, schach. Until he gets to the middle. What happens in the middle, he has 4 tefach schach from this side, 4 tefach schach from this side. Total of 8 tefach. How many tefachim do you need for a sukkah? 7. So therefore, the center has enough schach, and that's a kosher sukkah. All this is puzzle kind of stuff, because it's 4 tefach. That's what we call doifen akuma. It's a bent wall. That's why the sukkah is exactly 8 amos. 4 amos from this side, 4 amos from this side. You have David Akuma. Fine. The bottom line is, what do you see from here? You see that you could use, according to Yehuda, other types of planks of wood. It says cedar wood. Cedar wood is not from the lulav family. It says the Gemara, tremendous chap, mayeres hadas. Cedar wood happens to be from the family of hadasim. How do I know it? I'm not making this up. This is in the pasuk.
There
are 10 types of cedars. So the pasuk lists 7. And one of them is hadas. So you see in the pasuk refers to hadasim as cedar. So you're telling me that he used a plank of cedar and you want to bring a raya from there, that you're allowed to use other type of schach according to Rabbi Yehuda, not only from the four minim. Not true. The cedar that it's talking about over there, the Rabbi Yehuda says is kosher, is referring to hadasim, no raya. Maybe I'll take off my jacket here. I don't like doing it. I haven't done it in 3 years, but we'll do it. L'kavod Los Angeles. We're chilled out here. I have to go to a wedding and I'm already all showered and everything. You know what I mean? Okay. Zakta Gemara. Remeir Oimer Afilu B'meshicha. So you're allowed to tie the lulav and the hadasim and the aravos even with a string. Tanya, Omer Meir Maisa B'yakir Yerushalayim. The wealthy ones, the important people in Yerushalayim, Shoy Oigdim Es Lulavayim, B'gimoyni Oishal Zohav. They went ahead and I might have the picture here. We had it yesterday. They tied their lulav with gold. What does that look like? Let's see if it's here. Here it is. The Gimoinia Shazav. They took a strand of gold and they wrapped their lulav around and around. You see it? Okay. So what do you see? That you're allowed to use another min, not just a lulav, not just a leaf of a lulav, even gold. Now, here's a beautiful picture somebody sent me. I forgot the guy's name. Yishkoyach. He came over yesterday. He sent it to me today. This is from the Netherlands, I think, some country that they wrap their lulav, they do whatever they have to do. But on top, they put a nice decoration. So that's one pshat in the Gemara over here. That there was a typical eged on the bottom with lulav leaf. Like over here, you see the lulav leaf is grabbing the hadasim na'aravos right over here. On the top, you put a decoration. On the top, you put gold. That's milamato and milamala. Another pshat is, the way I thought the pshat was, and I saw it somewhere else, is that lamato means level one is like over here. Right over here is lulav. And on top of that, they covered it with gold. So you don't see the lulav, but actually the lulav is what's grabbing onto the hadasim and aravos, and the gold just covers that. Not top and bottom, but top and bottom. Right there on the same level. Okay. Omar Luhu Rabba Lahanu Megadlo Yishano. So Rabba told the people that not grow Yishanas. Rashi explains the word Megadlo doesn't grow, just the ones that are in charge. You know, like it's a big pain of Yontif to start making a Kaishik Loch and making all and tying the little this way, that way. You have a bunch of kids, it takes a long time. So you have a guy that's in charge of that. So Rashi brings other cases that we call the people in charge of something migadle. They're the ones that are growing it. It's just a lashon. Anyway, these guys were in charge of putting together the lula for the Reish Golos, for the Gol Hadar, you know, the Bei Reish Golos. And he told them, Kigadliso Yishanet Reish Golos, when you put it together, Shair Bei Beisyad. Make sure that there's enough to grab on the bottom, right over here. You should be able to grab on a hand. Why? Ki heched like the heavy chatzitza. So there shouldn't be a chatzitza. In other words, what's holding the koshikla, whatever it is a chatzitza to the lulav. You want to be able to grab onto the lulav itself with your hand. Rav Omar, kolin o'isoy enechaitzit. Since it's there to beautify the lulav, it's a bottle to the lulav and it doesn't create a chatzitza. Now, this idea that something that comes to beautify doesn't create a chatzitza. So if I have something that beautifies me, can I go into the mikveh with it? I have something beautiful on my tefillin. Does it create a chatzitza between the tefillin and my skin? So they say that yes. You don't apply that in all cases. Why? Because when it comes to a lulav, it doesn't say anywhere that you can't have a chatzitza. It just says that it should be a lakicha tama. It should be a whole taking. And if there's something between you and the lulav, you didn't take it. Now, if it's part of the lulav, it's to beautify the lulav, then you did take it. But we're not taking it. By the way, I just got to show you why I took off my jacket here. You think the basement was hot? Check this out. It's 80 degrees in here. It's okay, Shlomo. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's all good. So it's Los Angeles. Huh? But it's not humid. Okay, so jack up the heat. I don't care. It's not humid. Shkoyach. It's not humid. Put it up. 85. I could take it. Shkoyach. It's not humid. These Los Angeles guys. Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah. Your 80 degrees is better than the New York's 65 degrees. I have. Los Angeles is much better than everywhere. Okay. Besides Eretz Yisrael. No, Arab, no. Say the Gomer. Bomer Rabba. Did I finish what I was saying? Did I stop in the middle of a sentence? No, I was saying that when it comes to other things, it's chatzitza. By lulav, it's not a problem. Chatzitza is just lakicha tama. Therefore, if it's a beautiful thing, so it's a good lakicha. But it doesn't mean that it takes away from the... It doesn't mean that you could just ignore something beautiful when it comes to chatzitza of other things. Omar v'omar rabba. Loi linkit inish hoishana b'sudra. Don't hold on to your lulav, let's say with your talus. You're wearing a talus, you grab on. Or, I don't know if this is true, I'm just making this up just as a to be with gloves. A lot of people I see, guys, even today, because of COVID, these drivers are wearing gloves, whatever. A glove, I'm not saying that's the halacha, because a glove might be different, it might be bottle. But don't put something, a beged, between your hand and the lulav. You want to grab onto the lulav with your hands. The be'inon, l'kicha tama, it has to be a complete taking v'leka. Rav Amar, l'kicha de dova acher, shmo l'kicha. Once again, Rav argues and says, not true. You could hold on, there could be a towel in between, and it's fine. Omar Rav, minoa minelo, de l'kicha de dova acher, shmo l'kicha. And how do I know that if something else doesn't ruin it? This is not. It says by the mei para. What's mei para? You have the water that's mixed with the ashes of the para aduma, and you sprinkle that on people that are tamei tmei meis. So it says, ezoiv katzar, what do you do? You have these plants called the ezoiv, and you bind them together, and you dip it into the water, and you sprinkle it. Misapkoi b'chut u'b'chush v'toivel u'mala. So what happens is, they're transferring the water from city to city, because every city has dead people, and they have a chaver kedisha, we have to make them tart. So how do they get the water from one place to another? You put the water in tubes. Today we have bottles, and those days they put the water in a tube. And when it gets to the other city, the guy comes, takes the ezoiv, dips it into the tube. Now the tube is deep, and he used up all the water. He wants to get to the bottom of it. So as he gets to the bottom of the tube, he attaches a string to it and drops it in there. Or he takes a spindle that a woman weaves with, and he shoves it into the ezoiv, and then he extends the ezoiv with a piece of wood called a koish. And then he dips it in, and he brings it up. Now he grabs onto the actual flower called the ezoiv, and he sprinkles water on the tmei meis. Now, why is it? Now, first of all, you see from here that you could add something else. That's what Rava wants to say. You could add another dover acher, like a towel, like a piece of wood, a string, and it's as if you took it, because the pasuk says, "V'lokchum afar shrivas achatz v'nosan." You have to take it with your hand. Over here, the pasuk is saying it's taking with your hand, even though it's a string, even though it's a piece of wood. Just a quick question here. Gishmaki question. Why is it that when it comes to sprinkling the ezoiv, Rashi says, the Gemara says, you have to hold it with your hand. Why do you have to hold it with the hand? Why can't you just use that handle? You took the spindle, like you're holding right away. Perfect. Give me that spindle for a second. I need it. Yeah. Gishmak. Come here, get over here. What's your name?
Ezra.
Say Shalom Aleichem to the Oilam. Shkoyach for the spindle. You see this? It's perfect.
It's not a chopstick.
This is the women weave like this. So he took it. You can go back to see. Unless you need this for your sushi.
I have another one.
You have another one. Okay, great. I hope you didn't eat with this.
No, it's clean.
It's clean. Yeah. So this is a spindle. And he takes it and he puts it right into. Imagine this. Thank you. This is an ezoiv. As is the ezoiv, just for pretend, sticks it in here. Now he has an extension to his ezoiv. Great. I'm asking you a question. Why can't he just take this in the ezoiv and sprinkle like that? Why all of a sudden does he have to grab onto the ezoiv? I just thought it was funny when I read this Rashi. I started laughing because Rashi says like this: El shma mino shma lekicha. look at Rashi before it becomes wide. When he sprinkles, he must hold on to the actual flour. Why? Because if he holds on to this, it's going to get all over the place. Why was I laughing? Because in Ramah Beit Shemesh, I made a fake ezoiv. I took a picture of the ezoiv and I held on to it and I dunked it in water. And Noam Fick says, sprinkle me. So I went like this and I sprinkled him. I thought I sprinkled him, but all the water ended up on Rabbi Schoenberg. Now you have to understand, Rabbi Schoenberg is an elderly guy, has a big, long white beard, hush of a guy. And I just, all the water right on his face, nothing on Noam Fick. And that's exactly what Rashi is saying. If you hold on by some flimsy thing like I had, then you're going to hit the wrong person. It happened. It happened live in MDY. Exactly this Rashi. You can't have great aim. Fine. So therefore, you got to hold on to it. But you could actually hold on. Halachically, if you stuck this in the ezav and you went like this, it's fine. The only reason, Rashi says, it's a practical reason, not a halacha. Says the Gemara. But what's the Gemara's raya? Amai belokach betova l'marachmona. How could you hold on to this spindle? It's not holding on to the ezoiv. And the Torah says, v'lokach, you have to grab onto the ezoiv, v'toval, and then you stick it into the water, and you toval it. So you see from here, that using something else, like a towel, like a talus, to hold onto your lulav, is good. Just like holding onto the spindle is good. As the Gemara Mimai. Dilma, shani osam, keep the chabre, kigufei domi. Not true. If you shove this right into the ezoiv, this becomes part of the ezoiv. It's the handle of the ezoiv. That's why it's okay. But by lulav, it's just a towel wrapped around the lulav. It's not part of it. Elo mahalcha, have another. Nafal mishrei feres l'shoikis pasul. Again, we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about putting ashes into water. And it says you should take the ashes and put it into the water. What if the ashes fall into the water without you putting them? A wind came, knocked over the kli, and it fell in. Is it okay? Puzzle. Lamed Zayin on the bays. Sponsored by the MDY Tehillim group for all those who need Yeshua's Shidduchim Refuas and Yeshua's. Please join Tehillim.8mindav.com. If I say that quick, you know that it's almost the end of the month. It's time to switch sponsors now. Ha hipilohu kosher. What if the guy holds on to the jar of ashes of the paraduma worth millions of dollars and he spills it over into the water? Is that okay? Yes. How do I know? Because it says that if it fell by itself, then it's possible. Mashma, that if I pour it in, it's kosher. What's the problem? The problem is you didn't pour it in. You were holding on to a kli and you poured it in, right? You would have to take halachagli l'chayra v'lokach. He should stick his hands into the kli, grab ashes with his hand and go like this, put it into the water. By holding onto the kli, there's something between his hand and the ashes. Namely, a kli. That's not good enough, l'chayra. So you see from here, it is good enough. That's his raya, it's perfect raya. Amai. V'lokchu v'nosan arachmono. Elav shma mino. From here you see, l'kicha yedidav ha'acher. Shma l'kicha. Rabbosai, I have a good story soon about the Kamiansky brothers from Los Angeles. You guys know the Kamianskys? You all know the Kamianskys. Everybody knows. Who do you know? Hillel. You know Avi. You know Eli. Okay. Nobody knows Hillel, right? No, yes, there. Oh, you know Hillel. Good. What's your name? You're the Kaplan, knows Hillel. He knows all of them. You lived right next door to them, right? You lived right next to them. Right. You shouldn't take this, literally, Lodutz. Shove this into. It's not a good idea to. Is this out of order? Oh, yeah, okay. Mom's out of order. Here's the picture. Leladut. You don't take the lulav and put it into the adasim daravis. We do, you know why? Because we have a kajikulav that protects it. But if you don't have a protection, Lubavitch doesn't do kajikulav, right? Like this. So it's not a good idea to take the lulav and put it in. Why? Because you're going to rip off leaves. And the leaves are going to be stuck there, and they're going to be stuck between your lulav and the rest of the leaves. Now, once the leaf is detached from the hadas na'arava, it's not part of it anymore. It creates a chatzitza. The dilmonatri tarfi, the leaves are going to fall off. It's not true. A leaf cannot create a chatzitza to another leaf. Okay? This is very interesting. What happens if your lulav is too long and you snip the lulav? Let's say you snip the lulav right by this guy's thumb. You know what's going to happen? Lulav leaves are very long. So from his thumb up will remain on the lulav. You have very long leaves extending upwards and they're detached from the lulav, right? That's how lulav works. Every few centimeters is another leaf. If you cut over here, everything above the cut remains on the lulav. And that's a concern. Why? The same exact concern. Now you have a chatzitza. You have a bunch of leaves there that don't belong according to the Tanakhama. They're already detached from the lulav and they create a chatzitza. Once again, remind me of a story. I don't know how true it is. Rabbi Yonasan Eivchitz was very close to the king, and the king gave him a walking stick as a gift, made out of pure silver. And on the walking stick, there was a nice cross. So Rabbi Yonasan Eivchitz couldn't use it, so he chopped off that part. Now, one day he was visiting the king. The king says, "Let me see your walking stick." What happened? He said, "No, my walking stick was too long. I had to take, that's the story. I don't know if it's true. I had to take off a few inches." So the king says, so why didn't you take off from the bottom? And he says, No. It wasn't too long in the bottom. It was too long in the top. Okay, I saw you get the story. Like the king was a fool. But the reason why I remind, because over here it really works. Because on a lulav, you can't take off from the top. It's too long in the bottom. It's not too long on the top. You can't take off. Obviously, if you take off from the top, you're going to mess up the what? The tyoimus. All right, Vomer Rabba, Hadashal Mitzvah, Osel Ariach Boy. Anything that's a mitzvah, we discussed this yesterday, you're not allowed to benefit from a mitzvah, right? Even decorations in the sukkah. Esrog, you can't eat on Yontif. Hadas, which is made for smelling, you can't smell on Yontif. Why? Because you designated for a mitzvah, so it's Huktza l'mitzvasa. Hadashal Mitzvah, Osel Ariach Boy. Esrog Shal Mitzvah. You're allowed to smell an esrog. My time, what's the difference between hadas and esrog? Hadas de l'arecha kai. Hadas that's designated, it's created. People use it for psalmim every week. So, ki aksei, when he designates it and says, I'm not dealing with this anymore, I'm putting it on the side for a mitzvah. Merecha aksei. He put it aside and he said, I'm not going to smell it anymore. I'm using it for mitzvah only. Esrog de l'achila kai. But on the other hand, esrog that's it's meant for eating. Ki akze, when he designated for a mitzvah, that he only designated it that he's not going to eat it, but he didn't have in mind he's not going to smell it. So, nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that since you're ready, even though it's not really designated for smelling, you shouldn't smell. That's what he says. Even though it's not meant for smelling at all, but he says you shouldn't go. Others argue, but the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't smell your esrog. You shouldn't go like this. Try not to smell it. Huktzah l'mitzvasa. Remember yesterday we said we don't know how to make a tnai anymore. That I'm being makzit for this, not for that. So don't do anything with it. V'amar Rabba, hadas b'mechuber mutar l'ariach bo. Now we're switching gears for a second. We're going to Hilchas Shabbos. On Shabbos, you want to walk over to hadas tree and smell the hadasim. Are you permitted to or not? You're allowed, it's mechuber, it's attached to the ground, and there's a problem that you might snip it off on Shabbos, but you're allowed to smell it. Esrog b'mechuber, osel l'ariach bo. But esrog, now it's the opposite. Before we were saying that you're not allowed to smell a hadas on Sukkos, but you're allowed to smell an esrog on Sukkos. Over here it's the opposite. On Shabbos, you're allowed to smell a hadas on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to smell the esrog on Shabbos. My time, hadas the l'riach koi, he shores lay loyosel migzir. Very interesting. Since chachamim are not concerned that you might mess up and come to snip the hadas off, why? Because you're allowed to do whatever you need to do. What do you want to do? You want to smell it? We let you smell it on Shabbos. Why would you snip it off on Shabbos to smell more? You already smelled it. But esrog, that's meant for eating, if I let you smell it, you might come and grab it off the tree and eat it, bite into it. That's the problem. As you by the way, Reb Chaim Weissman from Lakewood, he wrote some Svarim, very nice Svarim, large Svarim, big Talmud Chacham, he sends me a lot of Divrei Torah. So he reminded me in Lakewood, he came to this year, he said, you know, you can't go through the whole Masechta Sukkah without saying over the story of the Vilna Gaon, so I got to say the story over the Vilna Gaon. He's right, 100%, famous story. But it's a good thing to think about. The Vilna Gaon one year didn't have an esrog, and somebody told him that there's an esrog, but I'll give you the esrog on condition that you give me the mitzvah. Whatever schar that you got from that esrog, I want it. And the Vilna Gaon said, no problem, deal. He took the esrog, and it says that that year he had more simcha than he ever had doing the mitzvah esrog. And the reason is because he said he always wanted to be mekayim a mitzvah without getting any sechar for it. Zero. Just because Hashem said, not because, oh, in Olam Haba I'm going to get 3 days of Gan Eden, whatever it is. I'm going to get $1 million in Gan Eden. I'm doing a mitzvah for zero sechar. Over here I got zero. I gave over my mitzvah. Someone approved from the story that you're actually able to give over mitzvahs and schar to other people, a whole raid. But the bottom line is, the point of the story is that it's good and it's even better to do a mitzvah when you get zero benefit, la'asai lavi, but the benefit is you're doing Ratzon Hashem. There's no greater benefit than that. Zog the Gemara. V'omar Rabba, lulav b'yamin, v'esrog b'smal. These are all common knowledge things. We hold the lulav in the right hand. But why? The esrog in the left. My time, says the Gemara, hani losa mitzvahs, because it's three against one. You're holding lulav, adas, arova. So therefore you're doing the right hand. V'hai, chada, mitzvah. And this is only one. Let me ask you a question. What do you guys think? Let's hear. I want to hear from the Olam. What if I switch it up? I put the esrog in my right hand, and I put the lulav and the adasim and the arovas in my left, and I make a bracha. Yaitza or not yaitza? According to what we just said. What? Yaitza. You said yaitza. Okay, what do you say? You're just imitating him. Say something original. No, here. Nachamal. The Gemara says, why did I put it in my right hand? Because it's more mitzvahs. Three. And over here, the esrog is one left. Okay, I switched it up. I made a mistake. Left, right. Yaitza? You say yaitza. Who else? Anybody say not yaitza? It's not a suffix. I'm telling you how to do it. You did the wrong way. Shalom Yisrael. Yaitza. Believe it or not, Rabbeinu Chananel says you're not yaitza. But other Rishonim, don't worry. The other Rishonim agree with you guys. You're yaitza. It kind of makes sense like that, but I was surprised to see that Rabbeinu Chananel says not yaitza. You ever think about this? What would you say is the most chashav out of the four meanim? Which one? Esrog, right? Why? It costs the most. That's what I was thinking also. But in the time of the Gemara, that it costs the least, let's say. I'm just, maybe not. But let's say it costs second to most, because everybody had esrog tree in their backyard. Why is the most? It's the first one in the pasuk. Pre-Eitz Hadar. First one in the pasuk. So perhaps it's the most chashim. I don't know. Maybe because it's like the heart. Fine. Yeah, it has more value maybe. Because you could use it after. So, fine. What are you going to do with a little piece of lulav? So the question is, then why do we make the bracha only on a lulav? Al netilas lulav. There's no mention of esrog, no mention of adasim, no mention of arov. Why? Here it is. Here's the Gemara. Maybe we never knew about this. So here it is. Says the Gemara, my tavla b'vachin ala netilas lulav. Hoyel. V'gavaya mikulon. Since it's the tallest one, it has the most chashivas. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean tallest one? V'ligbe l'esrog l'varach. So just lift up the esrog above. The esrog doesn't have to be attached to the lulav and the adas and the aravas. They're stuck in one place. But the esrog can go like this. And then you make a bracha. So the Gemara, no, you didn't understand. It's a taller tree or it's a taller pre, whatever you want to call it. But the bottom line is it's taller physically. And therefore, oh, I lost it again. Hold on. Today we're going to look for it. The turning of the daf thing. Not the turning, the... Let's see. Oh, yes, I found the Baruch Hashem. So the official Mishnah is sponsored by Fishel, Lerfua Shlema Braino Bas Yenta Dvoira, and because yesterday I missed it, Rufua Shlema Avram Yosef Ben Chano. Okay. Rabbi, I didn't have a Mishnah Berurah in the hotel room when I was preparing the daf, and I didn't have any Sfarim there. I probably could have found it if I wanted to search online, but I was lazy. I didn't have that much time. So I just want to bal peh what the way I do Na'anunim. Now, it could be there's other shittas and stuff. That's why I'm saying I didn't, the way I remember that came out la'alacha for me. Now, it could be different people. That's what I'm saying. You look it up yourself. The reason why I'm saying this is because I never understood. We daven Shmoneh Esrei, let's say 1,200 times a year, right? How many times do you daven Shmoneh Esrei? 3 times a day, 365. We have Shabbos, Yantav. 1,200 times a year, let's call it. Yet 90% of the people, okay, 20% of the people, when they do Eisei Shalom, they either take 2 steps back or 6 steps back. They have no idea what they're doing. And they go, why? If we're doing it 1,200 times, why don't we do it like a mensch? Why don't we just figure out what to do? It's so easy. Eisei Shalom Imraimov. We Eisei Shalom Aleinu. Eisei Shalom Imraimov. To the left, to the right, to the middle. No. You got to go like this. Yeah. Like you're doing it, they're doing it as they're stepping back. What's the big deal? So the same thing with Na'anunim. A lot of times I see guys, they take the little, they don't know what to do. So the way it came out for me, and again, I might be completely wrong. So look it up yourself. The way it looked, I don't know Nusach Sfarad, I just don't know Nusach, but we won't even talk about the way we do it. The Ashkenaz, they do, they go, they start, they do Na'anunim to the front, and then they just go in a circle. Right, back, and then to the left, up and down. Sfarad does it differently. I wanted actually to see what the difference, why Nusach Sfarad does it different than Ashkenaz. I'm assuming, I have no idea, that Sfarad is a pikabala and Ashkenaz is like the simple way, something like that. Maybe it's like Arizal said to do this. I don't know. Right? That's how it usually is. And whatever. Shulchan Aruch probably says this way, Ramos says that way. I don't know. Fine. The reason, I don't know the reason why. Like, we'll see in a second why we do not know. I'm just pointing one thing out. The way it came out for me, again, just for me, is that the Na'anunim is, it's a back, there's a front and then back. Front and back. Front and back. But every time you go front, you're supposed to give it a shake. Back, shake. So a lot of people just go over here and I don't know what they're doing. Like this, and then it's front, shake. Back, shake. 3 times. Front, shake. It's a front and back movement. But when you go to the front, you're there, you give it a shake. To the back, shake. And you go, if you're Ashkenaz, you go, what does Sfarad do? I don't even know. What's the next step? No. Oh, right, and then to the left? They don't go in a circle. We go in a circle, complete. Huh? So turn the body to something else. That's fine. You can turn the whole body.
Right, left, front, up, down, back.
Oh, that's confusing. Front.
Right, left, front, up, down, back.
Are you serious? You gotta be a genius to do it like that. You know what? Maybe for the Ashkenaz, they just did it for a bunch of shaitim. They said, you know what? Just go in a circle, up and down. But right, left, front, up, down, back. Wow, it's really out of order. Okay, fine. Wow, that's why Hasidim are smarter than Ashkenaz. They're like, woo. They don't get confused with that. But maybe that's why they're not so makbid on the shuckling here. Anyways, look around in shul. I might be completely wrong. Maybe everybody's yoitz is just one shuckle. But I remember it had to be front back. But every time you do a thing, there's a shuckle there. That you don't have to go crazy the whole time. You know, fine. Just point, throwing it out there. Where exactly do we do Na'anunim, says the Mishnah? Now, if you're an Amoritz like me, so you probably think like Hallel, going 48 years straight in Hallel, thinking that there's Haydu Lashem Kitoiv Kilo Yom Chazdoi, then there's another paragraph called Mina Meitzar, then there's another thing, the Chazdoi, oh, no, Hashem, Moshiach, no, that's another paragraph, and then you have a fourth paragraph called afterwards, Haydu Lashem Kitoiv. So, Rabbosai, I'm here to tell you a secret, in case you don't know it, I'm sure everybody probably knows still about Peh besides me. There's one paragraph, Kapitel Kuf Yud Ches, the first pasuk is Haydu Lashem Kitoiv Kilo Yom Chazdoi, and the last pasuk is Haydu Lashem Kitoiv Kilo Yom Chazdoi. And everything in between is the entire Hallel. You say, "Hoy Hashem Kitoiv Chazdoi Mina Meitzar On Hashem Yishino On Hashem Etzlichnos." All in those pesukim, it's one long thing. We just break it up into four paragraphs. So the Mishnah says that you do not know him by Hoydul Hashem Kitov Kilam Chazir like we do, times four. I think everybody does times four, maybe times two, whatever you guys do. And then Uba'ana Hashem Yishiyana. That's what we do also. So Tchila V'Soif means Hoydul Hashem Kitov in the beginning of Kapitul Kuf Yud Ches, which is the beginning, so, like in the middle by us of Hallel. V'Soif all the way, you know, the Hoydul Hashem Kitov right before the final bracha that we say in Hallel. That's the Tchila and the Soif. Plus, we say by Ana Hashem Yishiyana, Ana. Well, if you're Hasidish, you have to like down. By us, it just goes. Okay, fine. It's kedai to be Ashkenazi for a little bit or Litvish. You also shake the lulav by Ana Hashem Atzlichana. By the way, a very sweet guy came over to me yesterday and he asked me a shaila about moving to Eretz Yisrael. Last night after the shir, moving to Eretz Yisrael, I think I shocked him. I told him he has to be careful, v'chulu v'chulu. But over here, there's a very interesting hint to this whole idea. Not that it's going to change his mind one way or another, and I'm not trying to. Maybe fakert. It's the opposite of what I told him yesterday. I don't remember who said it, the Kotzke Rebbe or somebody, that the na'anuim, to move from one place to another place, is only when it's ana Hashem Yishiyana. Help me. I need help. I'm in such desperate need. Then you move to another place. But if it's ana Hashem Atzlichana, if it's just to be matzliach a little bit more in parnasa, let's say my parnasa is a little shvach, I want a little bit more, you don't move. You don't do na'anuim. You don't move to another place. You don't uproot your mishpacha, go somewhere else for hatzlacha. You uproot your mishpacha when it's Hashiyana, help me out. Let's say for refuah, there's a better hospital, or my whole thing, my whole life is crumbling, so I pick myself up, move to Eretz Yisrael kind of thing. I'm just, it was a hint. It was interesting that it came up here. Omer Rabbi Akiva. Okay, listen. Yeah, there's different things. You could say, Mishanam Mokum Mishanam Mazel. You can say, by the way, one of my very good friends in Eretz Yisrael that's probably watching this year right now, he had a major issue with his daughter. She had epilepsy. Maybe I shouldn't say it. But anyway, nobody knows what I'm talking about. The crazy epilepsy. Like Meshuggah, all the doctors, nothing helped. He moved houses, it stopped. Completely. Bli Ayin Hara, I know he hates when we talk about it because of the Ayin Hara, but Mamish, poo. Mishana Mokka, Mishana Mazi. You say Mishana Mokka, Mishana Mazi, that's like incredible. Maybe there's like a problem in the house. Maybe there's like radiation or something. I don't know what. But Imam has changed. Anyway, Zok the Mishnah, Omer Rabbi Akiva. Tzoyfa Yisi b'Rabbi Gamliel b'Rabbi Yeshua. I looked at the Rabbeim, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua. Shekala Am Hayu Menanimis L'Lubayim. So he's coming to say, listen, just because the whole Tzibur does something, and then people say, oh, it's a minug. Somebody told me from a Chashav Rav, because in Eretz Yisrael, in our shul, I always say Kaddish when there's no Avil or anything. I say Kaddish after davening, one time, just one Kaddish, after Leinu, one Kaddish. And people, why do you say Kaddish? I said, because Kaddish is really a tefillah that's instituted that you should say. Just we give it to the person that doesn't have a parent as a schus for that person's parents' neshama. It's not a tefillah for the dead, it's a tefillah for us to daven. Just like we say Baruch Shomar and Ishtabach, we have to say Kaddish. Who says it? That's a person that lost a parent. But you have to say it. So I say it. Nobody else is saying it. I say it if there's no other avil. Not because Rosh Shiva or give a shir. Just that it's the halacha. So somebody told me from a chashav rav in the neighborhood, he said, Eli is wrong. The minhag hamakom in Eretz Yisrael is not to say Kaddish after davening. So I told him, listen, I respect that person a lot. He's more chashav rav than I am. But I don't understand. Just because the minhag is, people make a false minhag doesn't make it a minhag. If it's minig, not based on halacha, what do you mean minig? But anyway, Rabbi Akiva over here is saying, just because everybody's shaking their lulav by Ona Hashem Atzlichana, that doesn't change the halacha. The halacha is like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai. You do not shake a lulav by Ona Hashem Atzlichana, only by Ona Hashem Hoishiyana. Just today, the guy told me that this halacha, that it's a minhag. And Rabbi Yeshua, they only Shukah Bayona Hashem Yishino. Meaning, not just Bayona Hashem Yishino. Whatever else the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said that you shake it by Hoydel Hashem Kitav Gilam Chazdoi. Beginning in it. Ask the Gemara Nanu Man the Karashmei. Who mentioned anything about shaking a lulav that you're telling me where to shake it? First, I have to explain that there's something called shaking a lulav. And then I'm going to tell you where to shake it. You don't just come in and say, oh, you have to shake the lulav. Says the Gemara. Hosam Koi is going on what everybody remembers. Kalulah says Bishlish Tvachim Kidilanaya Bikashir. It says in the Mishnah that you need to have three tvachim of a lulav to represent, to beat, to correspond to the three tvachim of a das and arava. In addition to that, you need one extra tefach to shake that the lulav should shake. So over there it says that you shake it. Where in the davening? Here, the Mishnah tells us. Now, by the way, there's a big discussion here. When do we shake the lulav first? Where do you guys shake the lulav in the morning? In shul or at home? Sukkah. Who said sukkah? Okay. So it seems like that's what the most common thing is. According to the Arizal, you should shake the lulav, even though the main part of shaking the lulav, as the Mishnah says, is during halal. But it's better to make the bracha lechatchila. You should do it in the sukkah. That's what. There's a little bit of an argument there, but that's what comes out lechayra. That you should do it unless you're davening in a sukkah. If you're davening in a sukkah, it might be a little different. Just wait for halal. But if you're not, then take the lulav. First things, Rizim Magdimim, the Shulchan Aruch says, Rizim Magdimim, you should shake the lulav even as early as the Netzachama. As early as you can, go ahead, do the beautiful mitzvah of Netilas Lulav in the sukkah. Says the Gemara, become our Hechem Inan. Fine. Not awesome. We learned over there. The two breads that you bring on Shavuos together with the two sheep. You take the two breads and put it on top of the two sheep. And you put your hands underneath it. And you lift it up. You bring it back and forth. So that's the idea of Na'anuim. We learn shaking of the lulav from shaking of the sheep. Now, I mentioned this, but I have to mention again. When we were learning about tenufa of the carbon, Avi Kamiansky, who was in the shir, we're talking about 3 years ago, in Ramat Beit Shemesh, they're very big into riding bikes in the mountains. They have mountain bikes and they love it and they see wildlife over there. It's great. So Avi Kamiansky is going in the mountains and all of a sudden he came across a shepherd with sheep. He got off his bike. And he gave the shepherd whatever, 100 shekel. And he says, listen, I need to lift up your sheep. I need to do tnufa. So he sat there and he has pictures and videos of it. He lifted this thing up. It was heavy. He was going to faint. He lifted the thing up and he did on a, you know, like top, bottom, nusach svarad he did because he's nusach svarad. It was great. So, because we're hands-on shir and he learned that you got to do hands-on. He took a video and he showed it to the whole shir. Everything is good. But the reason, the story I want to tell you, I've never told the story to him or to any of the Kamiyans, or to anybody for that matter. Maybe one other person, maybe Noam Fix knows about the story, and I want to share this with you. I thought it was a very, very nice lesson in Hashgacha Pratis and how sometimes the world works. We were making a siyum on Masechtas Chulin, that Masechta they did Tnufa, and in those days, I used to pay for the siyumim. One time the Kamiyans actually paid. Whatever, we had help, good, fine. But we used to throw beautiful parties. It was a small shir, you know, 30, 40 guys, local guys. We weren't big on the internet yet. And it was in my house. We got a great caterer. It was an expensive meal, very expensive. The top caterer, throwing an all-out party. And Avi Kamiansky asked me if his brother, Eli, and his wife could come. Now, this was a siyum for women also. We wanted to give Hakaras HaTov to the women. The women are huge in the shir. They push their husbands to learn everything. And it was great. So I was thinking to myself, oh, I'm starting to count the money. It's a 200 plus shekel per person and two people. What? First of all, he doesn't even come to the shir, this Ellie guy. No, he's going to start coming. And his wife, like, Bishleim him, great. But why his wife? So, yeah, sure, come. It was b'dieved, but yeah, why not? Come. So he shows up. This Ellie guy shows up. I never met him. I don't really know him. He shows up. Maybe he's in the shir one day. But he had a geshmaka meal and was wine and this. It was great. Everything was great. And I thought to myself that I did him a big favor. You know, I let him come to the shir to the Siyum. He had a great party and blah, blah, blah. And he started coming to the Shir because of the Siyum, not because, but he started coming every day to the Shir. He just moved to Eretz Yisrael. And what happened was, this is what I'm telling you. I thought I was doing Eli a favor. And I hope Avi and Eli are not watching right now. But at the end of the day, what happened was Eli did me a favor for coming. Why? Because Eli was there and he saw me recording on YouTube. And I was recording, whatever, a few people. I said, you know, maybe one day my kids would want to watch it. Let me just record. And he comes over to me during Shir. He says, you know, there's something called live YouTube. So why don't you go live? Like, live? What is live? Like, I didn't really know much about this stuff. Let me show you. And he hooks me up. He starts going, da-da-da. Now you're live. Live. How many people? Nobody. Nobody's watching. We're live. And, you know, and the rest is history, really, because then, you know, Dave Agal from Malibu, he found me in Costa Rica. He was doing a search in Costa Rica. And then this guy from Borough Park. And this guy did that. And then Leibowitz. Avrumi Leibowitz from Borough Park started watching. And all these guys started. And he is the one that introduced me to the live thing. And it came a point where then YouTube shut down live. They said, no, you have to have 1,000 followers. If you don't have 1,000 followers, you can't have live. And we were really close to having 1,000 followers then. We just had to get another few hundred. And we went out and we hustled and we got the... It was after that guy went around killing everybody when he was wearing a GoPro. Remember the guy in Australia killed a bunch of Muslims and they said, no more live, you have to have 1,000. Fine. So then we became the only Shir that had 1,000 followers and we were still live and it was a big bracha. All because he asked if he could come to the Siyum and I said, sure, come, you or your wife. At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way of doing it. If I would have been a stingy guy, I said, listen, nah, it's not, you know, it's a lot of money, it's a couple $100 that you should come to me. I don't even know you, why? Come. And look what happened. He came, and it's a tremendous, no, it's not a nice maisa. It's a beautiful zach. All right. Anyway, I never said over the story because I thought, but it's 3 years later, so there's no bush anymore. Fine. We're almost done, Rabbi Yisai. And because I'm only saying the story because I'm here in Los Angeles, that his roots are from Los Angeles. And now he watches this year, he'll watch this year. Avi watches this year, and their father watches this year, and Avi's father-in-law, Dr. Epstein, watches this year. Kids, sir, it's the whole mishpacha. Says the Gemara, you hear? You have to go frontwards and backwards. To every direction, front, back. Then you go up and down. Why do we do these nanuim? What's the nanuim? To show, to commemorate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's in charge of the four sides of the world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Malu Mered, Lemisha, Shomayim Baruch Shaloi. It's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in Ma'arav HaMasnavachim, but in Eretz Yisrael, they said it differently. Omer HaVachom HaVaruch, Vom Rabbi Yosef HaRabbi Chanina. Moel Chom Evi, Kedei Latzer Ruch Yisroiz. No. Sukkos is about rain, and I'm going in all directions to stop the bad winds. Malu Mered, Kedei Latzer Tlonim Roim. In order to stop the bad dews, to begin to the dew, saying talu matar, dew, you have bad, you have good, we got to stop the bad dew. Rabbi Yisai, have a wonderful day. Yishkoyach for having me. Rabbi Yisai. Yishkoyach, yishkoyach. Yeah, every day, my friend. Yishkoyach, yishkoyach. All right. We're trying to come back to Israel. Yosef, you're back in Israel? What'd you say?
I was watching the shir last night.
I know, I said so. You heard me? You heard me saying that you're watching this year? Did you see how my brother interrupted the shir and chopped it down?
When I meet your brother, I'm going to give him
Rabboisai, stop. Ellie Trapper's online. Ellie Trapper's on Zoom. Rabboisai. Big Shalom Aleichem. You know, Ellie, did you see my son, Lozzi, in Camp Romamu?
Yeah.
Did he say hello to you?
Yeah.
Did he snob you out a little bit?
No.
He's a good boy?
Very good boy.
Very good boy. I know. Lozzi's the best.